from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two, that's James Hamm, I'm Kyle Madsen, we are hanging out with you until noon. Sponsored by Jiffy Lube, we are, and then we'll hand it off at noon, we'll hand it off to D'Lo and Casey, and then we'll hang out with you until 4 o'clock right here on Sacramento Sports Leader. We'll talk some MLB trade deadline here in a bit. MLB trade deadline is tomorrow at 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific time. And we'll have some 49ers and Raiders quarterback stuff. I was thinking about their two quarterback situations and just how different they are, but how literally last year or 2 years ago, I guess, within the last couple of years, the Niners have been in a similar spot to where Vegas is. So we'll talk about that here coming up. You bought new snacks today.
I did.
You went to Costco. You filled up the Fortress of Snacktitude. Shout out to you for doing that. I think you feed the entire office.
It's possible I do feed the entire office.
This thing that was supposed to be just for a handful of people has now become a...
Yeah, I always feel bad because, you know, some people are like, oh, I'm so hungry. It's like, well, we do have an entire locker full of snacks. So I'm too nice.
Yeah, I'm going to go there. But I get it. Like, I totally get it. I get why you do that. And it's nice for people that you do that. It's funny, though. You bought new snacks today. You'd made a couple of Costco runs and gotten kind of, in general, the same stuff. But this time you went new.
Yeah, there's a couple of the same. Like, yeah. We get the fig bars.
Yeah, love the
raspberry and blueberry fig bars, and those are good.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get the Costco version of the Kind bars.
Yes.
Which are, like, the dark chocolate Kind bars, which mm-hmm. are always, that's one of Kenny's favorites.
Yep.
But then I had to mix it up a little bit, and since we talked about PB&J all last week,
big PB&J guy.
I don't. They're not cookies.
They're like a biscuit almost, like a soft biscuit.
Yeah, with PB&J.
But it's a peanut butter
and jelly.
It's like a peanut butter biscuit with jelly inside. It's delicious. It was fantastic.
Yeah. So what a great way to start the day. And then I also got some. It's like a peanut butter covered in chocolate wafer.
I'm having one of those after this.
Those are like the Skippy peanut butter bars.
It looks incredible.
Yeah, so we're going to have to try that. So we had to rearrange the locker. I decided to leave everything in their box and just cut the boxes.
Looks great.
The ends of the box is open.
Looks outstanding.
Yeah, I'm excited for the new fortress of Snacktitude. Yeah.
I'm not a super... I've gotten more adventurous with what I like to eat.
Yeah,
as I used to be super picky, and now I'm much as I've gotten older, I've gotten much less picky with what I eat. But at the same time, when I go to a place, I go to restaurant A, and when we pull up to restaurant A, I know, hey, you know what? There's two or three things on this menu that I'm getting. That's what it is. They're like, hey, we got this new special. I'm like, nah, I'm just gonna stick with this. Like, this is just what I get here. It's what I like. Or if I go to a Italian spot that I've never been, I kind of know in general what kind of Italian I'm looking for.
Yeah, like I'm a Cioppino guy, so sure. A good Italian spot, that's kind of my go-to.
Right. That's what you're going to get when you go there. When it comes to snacks, don't care. I have no loyalty to a snack. If it's something that looks good, it's going in the cart. Especially, I shop at Trader Joe's a lot. Yeah. Especially at TJ's. They got new snacks coming out all the time. Just walking through there, I'm like, hey, I know we need these 12 items, but if there's a new snack, it's going in the cart.
It's in the cart.
Yep.
Yeah, I found that, like, you do need to mix up the snacks, like, so people don't get tired and, like, whatever's happening there.
Yeah.
Like, the idea behind the Fortress Snacktitude is that people will actually take a snack.
Right, right? Instead of paying the vending machine.
And instead of paying $2 for the vending machine plus some service charge.
Which is nutty, dude. The vending machine here, look, I don't want to put anybody on blast. Maybe the building owns that and that's what it is. But to me, the work vending machine should be like, yeah, everything in here is 50 cents.
Mm.
Like, yeah, you work here, throw them a couple bucks, or not a couple bucks, throw them a couple of quarters and get your bag of Doritos. But it's like $2.75.
Oh, it's outlandish.
It is crazy.
Yeah. I'll go spend like $60 at the Costco and it will save us all like so much money. It's ridiculous.
You save me every single day. If we did not have the Fortress of Snacktitude, I would operate differently in the mornings.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that, hey, I'm going to have a breakfast item in there that I can grab when I get. But if I didn't, I'd be dropping a couple dollars into the vending machine to get the exact same thing.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Hey, I'm here for the people.
Dude.
I'm here for the
people.
You
are, and we appreciate it immensely, even if people say you don't. Even if people don't say so, James, I promise. All right. The Dodgers made a trade. They dealt Miguel Vargas to the White Sox. It was a three-team deal. Tommy Edman's going to the Dodgers. Michael Kopech is going to the Dodgers. So the Dodgers bolster their outfield. They bolster their pitching rotation. Because, of course, why wouldn't they?
Yeah, of course.
Also, Tommy Edman can play, I think, all nine positions. So they just, their lineup got deeper.
Why not? I think it's going to be crazy, like, throughout the day. Like, the Cardinals acquired Tommy Pham. That just happened, I guess.
Oh, he's back.
I don't know. Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting to sit here and watch Major League Baseball. Because, like, a lot of times it's such a dud. Like Major League Baseball trade deadline, but they did away with like the other.
Yes.
Which I like the other, the like.
So it used to be that after the trade deadline, a team could place a player on waivers. And if that player cleared waivers, he could then be traded.
Yes.
But, and if a player was put on waivers and a team tried to claim them, the team could, that put them on waivers could pull them back.
Mm-hmm.
So there was just no risk of, yeah, hey, we're going to place every single one of our players on waivers. And if some team wants to throw out a crazy offer for one of them, great. But if some team wants to try and claim them, then we can just pull them back. Like that's how, and they've eliminated that.
Yeah.
So that's one thing. But two, they have also, with the expansion of the postseason, you have a lot of teams this year at the deadline. I think the Giants are one of them. You have a lot of teams in the Giants' position where they're looking and going, okay, let's see, trade deadline is tomorrow. We're two games under 500 or whatever they are, three games under now, wherever they're at. We're a couple games under 500, four back of a playoff spot. We could just stand pat and make a push for this thing instead of selling, or theoretically, we could try and be buyers and really make a push to be contenders in the playoffs. Or we can just kind of stand pat and let this run its course, and that way we don't have to give out any assets and we might make the playoffs anyway. I think a lot of teams are kind of in that position. And so I was reading this morning on ESPN, Buster Olney and Jeff Passan were talking about it. There are a ton of teams who are going, yeah, theoretically we could be sellers, but we know that we're the only team selling, so our asking price is going to be super high.
Yeah. That's kind of where the A's are.
Yeah.
Like, hey, yeah, we could be sellers, but then again, like, we do kind of have to fill up a stadium in a new city next year, and so maybe we should keep some of these players. Mm-hmm. I still, like, I would be surprised if they didn't do something, like, that just guts their fans one last time, because it kind of feels like that's who they are, and,
you know,
they'll make a move just to make a move to hurt their fans even more.
Of course.
That's what it kind of feels like. But if they don't, like, I'm kind of excited to see what happens down the stretch.
So like, they've been, it sounded for a while like they're not getting rid of Mason Miller.
Yeah.
Which makes sense. He's still under team control
for five years.
He's pre-arbitration for a couple of years at least.
Yeah, yeah. I think two more seasons after this, I believe. He's still a one-year guy.
They have no motivation to deal him.
Nope.
But then I saw another report yesterday, and this could be trade season smokescreen but I saw a report yesterday that they might not even be interested in moving Brent Rooker.
Yeah.
Which would be like, great. This is what you and I have talked about. Let there be some recognizable people in the lineup when they get here to Sacramento.
Yeah.
Let it be Brent Rooker, the all-star snub who's going to hit 40 bombs. And let it be Lawrence Butler, who had this scorching hot July and looks like one of the best young players in baseball. Let it be Mason Miller. Like, allow fans to get behind this team. At least a little.
Yeah.
And then after a couple of years, when they all start to get expensive, then you can toss them.
Well, I mean, but that's been the plan. Well, it should have been the plan all along, that once you get a new stadium, mm-hmm. that maybe you do have a group of players that all of a sudden you can buy out their arbitration years, like what the A's used to do. Like, give a guy a 6-year deal when he's 2 years before arbitration, when he's starting to enter arbitration. Yeah, yeah. Give him a 6-year deal, so you buy out their arbitration years, 2 or 3 years arbitration years, and then give him another 2 or 3 years on top of that, and you're keeping guys around, and so people can actually buy a jersey with the player's name on it. There's so much value to that. There's so much value to the fact that De'Aaron Fox jerseys, you can have a De'Aaron Fox jersey from 1999, from 2019.
Yes.
From 2017.
Yep.
Like, you can still
plays.
Yeah, you can still have a De'Aaron. It's so valuable that mm-hmm. kids get to watch one player grow up and become what they're going to become as a player and support one guy for a long time. It's huge.
And it's just investment in the team, man. That's ultimately what it is.
Yeah.
The Padres have not granted they're gaining on LA and the NL West, but it's not like the Padres are winning 110 games every year. But they have an ownership group that invested heavily into that team, and fans come out.
Yeah.
They're still pretty loaded. Like, they have a good squad, to be sure. Like, they'll make the playoffs and maybe be dangerous there. But they've invested. They just, like, dude, if you show any level of giving a damn, you're going to get people to come out, I think, in any city. So yeah. that's I think where the A's have whiffed on this for 2 decades now, more than 2 decades. That commitment hasn't been there, and eventually it wears on enough people that you have 3,000 people a night at your games.
Well, they rip the heart out of their fans, like, time all the time. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, how many times can we just go back? How many times do you go out and you have a guy who becomes a star, and then you trade him for 3 guys? Two of which never make it, and then the one guy who does make it, everyone's so excited for him to make it up to sort of replace the guy that you already gave up, and then he gets up and he's no good, or he becomes good and you trade him. It's just like this perpetual vicious cycle of mm-hmm. really, really hurting. Really, it hurts your ability to be a fan of the team.
Mm-hmm.
It just, like, it strips away the ability to connect and stay connected to a player.
Imagine
stuff.
It's the difference between, this is the best thing I can think to compare it to. Anyone ever been on vacation?
Mm-hmm.
It's the difference between, hey, you're going to go, hey, James, I'm going to send you on a trip to Hawaii for the weekend. You're going to fly out Friday. You'll be there Saturday. You're leaving Sunday. And it's like, okay, that's nice. But that, think of the difference between that and, hey, James, I'm flying you out to Hawaii for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to get there and be like, okay, this is nice, but I can't settle in. I'm not going to.
No,
is
I need
it, a, is it nice or good?
I need a minimum of 7 days. I need a day to get there.
Right.
And then to unpack and have a nice dinner.
And relax.
Five days to forget. And then 1 day to, like, start packing up again and be like, all right, time to go home.
Being an A's fan is going to Hawaii for the weekend.
Yeah.
Like, okay, we're out here. This is great. We're here. I'm on the beach for a day, but I got to get up. I can't even stay out because I got a 8 a.m. flight in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
It's okay.
It's very, very tough.
Right.
And I'm not a weekend getaway guy. Like, no. I it's just too much.
I rock a weekend getaway, but to, like, Tahoe. I can do Tahoe for a weekend.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get on an airplane for the weekend.
No, exactly. So yeah, it's a good way to break your fan base. And like for all the problems that the Kings have had over the years, like DeMarcus Cousins was here 6.5 seasons. De'Aaron Fox, again, he's going into year 8 with the Kings.
God, that's crazy.
Harrison Barnes was with the team like 5.5, 6 years. Like that is a long time in the NBA. Mm-hmm. You're getting to see a good portion of somebody's prime, a good portion mm-hmm. of somebody's actual playing career. And that's a good thing. It's a good thing to attach to somebody. I mean, again, Domantas Sabonis should be here until, like, throughout his entire prime.
Until he's done playing.
Yeah, I mean, as of right now, today, you're looking at, like, pretty much a minimum of 6 seasons of Malik Monk, like, as a King. And that's a good amount of time for somebody's NBA career.
Yep.
So, yeah, I think it's good. I think it's good to settle in with a group of players. And of course, you want to find success and all that stuff, but like just the inability to stick with a plan and to stick with a group of players and just break your. And then every year, draft a light hitting shortstop, and then you have no pitching prospects coming. And like it's definitely a struggle being an A's fan.
Yeah. When you watch playoff highlights and you go, oh, I forgot that guy was on the team.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that guy. And it's the whole team. That's tough.
There was some dude who was pitching the other day, and I'm like, I don't know who this is. And then they flash the stats. This guy had like 24 relief appearances. I'm like, I have no idea who he is. Yeah. I have no idea who you are at all. How did this happen?
Yeah, it's just hard to stay engaged, man.
Yeah, it is.
So I think the A's are probably going to make some moves where they're selling a little, but I would love to see them hang on to Rooker. And like I said, I think they're going to hang on to Mason Miller, especially now as Ramsey notes, on the IL with a broken pinky.
Yeah.
Because he punched a table.
Yeah, slammed his hands down on a padded table. Is that what it was?
Yeah, isn't that what Jesus Luzardo did too?
Oh, maybe.
Broke his hand playing video games?
Oh.
Because he banged it on a table?
Well, I think it might be playing in Oakland that does this to you.
God.
You're always like, I can't handle this. Yeah.
I guess.
Absolutely wild.
I think the Giants should be buyers, by the way.
They should
That's
be buyers.
That's why I fall on this whole, I've seen, it's gone, I follow our friends at 95.7 The Game very closely, and I follow the twists and turns of, oh, they lost 2 out of 3 to the Dodgers, you gotta sell, oh, they just took 4 from the Rockies, oh man, now you gotta be buyers, now they got, and I think all signs point to Farhan Zaidi kind of just sitting on his hands. Because that's sort of the ethos of this team. And maybe he sees that his chair is getting hot or his seat's getting hot, and he decides that this is the time they're going to unload prospects and make moves and really try and compete this year. That's what I think you have to do. I push back against that for a little bit because I just kind of looked at the National League and I didn't think there was a way the Giants were going to be super competitive. But if you're going to get Robbie Ray back looking like a Cy Young candidate, which he did against the Dodgers after struggling through the first inning.
Mm-hmm.
He was awesome the rest of his start. Blake Snell has been outstanding lately. You have Hayden Birdsong, who is a bright young prospect who's been awesome since coming up. That's a really good rotation, a three-man rotation to go into a playoff series with. If you go add a significant bat to your lineup at the deadline, yeah, maybe you have to give up a prospect or two. But just do that at this point.
Yeah.
Because the amount of guys that we've heard about time and time again who have not been able to come up and have an impact at this point, go get an impact player now. That's where I've decided I land on that.
Yeah, even like if you're the Giants and the A's are considering trading Brent Rooker, why would you not go chase? Why would you like? You have not had a guy hit 30 home runs in a season since Barry Bonds.
Which is.
And
bananas.
Absolutely crazy.
He retired so many years ago.
Yeah, he's been snubbed for 15 years. Like, whatever it is.
He should have been in the Hall of Fame 12 years ago.
Yes.
And
and that's a 5-year wait period, people. Like, and you that's can't crazy, find anybody. Man. And the A's find, like, hey, you think you can hit 30? Yeah, I can hit 30, Jack. All right, yeah, come on aboard.
Seth Brown, get out there.
Yeah, Seth Brown.
I can't believe Seth Brown is still on the team. Every time I turn on A's game, I know Seth Brown plays for the A's. Every time I turn, I'm like, damn, he's still, good for him.
How is he still here? How are you the one guy?
Because he's like Derek Barton and Cliff Pennington.
Yes.
And all these dudes who are just not quite good enough. Like, they're fine for the A's.
Yeah.
They're batting cleanup for the A's, but really they should be batting like seventh on a real team.
Or eighth.
But they're just, they're like, yeah, that guy, because you can keep him around for however long.
For nothing.
Chad Pinder should still be on this team, by the way.
Oh,
I
yeah.
loved Chad Pinder.
He retired.
I know.
Wild.
He's a damn good player. I'm sad he hung him up.
Yeah, he was fun.
Yeah. Talk some Niners training camp. Pads come on today. Ricky Pearsall has officially been activated, by the way.
That's fun.
Yeah, that happened yeah. today. Ricky Pearsall, Niners first round pick. So it's weird. In minicamp, he was in a blue non-contact jersey for the whole minicamp.
Mm-hmm.
And then came out for training camp, reported 40 days later or whatever it is, and reported and immediately got placed on the non-football injury list because of a hamstring thing that he sustained away from the team. So I don't know if it's two different things he was dealing with or what's going on there, but he's back.
That's kind of weird because, like, look, if somebody is doing something silly away from the team and you want to put them on the non-football related injury because they were doing something stupid, like riding a mountain bike and gotten crashed or something.
No, it's just, it could be, he could have been playing football, but because it happened away from the team facility, it goes as a non-football
Got
injury.
It. Okay.
So he could have been just training, just doing
sprints. Well, clearly he was probably training and just like
pulled up. Yeah. So, but it's just, I don't think it's a great sign that to start his career, he was blue non-contact jersey and then on the NFI for the first week of camp. Mm. But anyways, he's back now and we get to see him. He apparently was really good in minicamp from everything I've heard and read.
Yeah, I'm excited to see him play.
Yeah, same. And pads, Kyle Shanahan talked about this. Like, pads is when things get real.
Yeah.
You know, the practices matter before that, but if you're an offensive lineman, you can't get your hands on somebody until you have pads on.
Mm.
And then their offensive line coach, Chris Forster, has talked about this. It's not whether you get your ass kicked as an offensive lineman because it's going to happen. It's how you bounce back from that. And when the game gets violent, can you continue bouncing back and getting up off the mat and getting hit again and again and again? So this is a big deal. Pads coming on is a big spot in training camp.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So. I always hated that week. Like, or all the time where you're just running around with football with a helmet on and nothing else. Like, yeah. Okay, this is lame.
Yeah.
This is lame.
Yeah. And you get pads on.
Get pads on, but it's still August and you're like, oh no.
That's so hot.
Oh, it's so hot.
At least they're in Santa Clara where when it's hot, it's like 85.
Oh, yeah. Brutal.
They'll be all right. They'll be all right. Yeah, man. I'm excited for that. I think, I don't know, they have, the Niners this year have, I was just thinking about this morning. This isn't on the rundown. I'm just talking now.
That's fine.
I was thinking about it this morning because I was writing about how they have, you know, this many guys that need to prove themselves with pads on. And it's like, it's just all the rookies. How does that player adapt to being hit in the NFL and to playing through contact in the NFL and to delivering contact in the NFL? Like Malik Mustafa, the safety they drafted in the fourth round out of Wake Forest.
Mm-hmm.
When you see him play, he is downhill, run-stopping safety. He just, physicality is his game. And he looks like a guy whose physicality is his game. He's as wide as a bank vault. It's crazy. And that's where, okay, how does that now translate in the NFL? Is this a guy who's just going to be a special teams guy because he can't figure out how to play defense? Or does he come in and day one make such an impact because of his physicality that all of a sudden the Niners are like, we got to get this kid on the field? Like, those are the things that can be made and broken in these practices. And it's, I can't imagine being a rookie where you're like, yeah, hey, Dominic Pooney, third round offensive line pick, who could conceivably be their starting right guard. Hey, go out there and just get hit by NFL defensive linemen and be good with it. Like, that's a mental hurdle I couldn't clear.
I think it's funny, the guys who play like the safety you're talking about,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't matter whether they have pads on or not, you know they're coming.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even if they're not going to hit you because it's non-contact mm-hmm. or you're just wearing helmets.
Yeah.
Like, you know that dude is alive. Like, you sense him as a player.
Sure.
Like, you go back. I remember one of my first practices with helmets on. I went over the middle, went up to catch a ball.
Mm-hmm.
I got hit in the back of the head so hard that my hands hit my face mask, and then the ball crushed my hands against my face mask. And I had black lines on the back of my Oof. Hand from bruises Ugh. From where... And that's when I realized that I'm not going over the middle when that guy right there
Yeah.
Kevin Thompson. I'm not doing it, man. I'm not doing it. If you're right there, I'm going to know you're right there, and I'm going to go around you. I'm not going to get hit in the back of the head again. But those guys, they're, you know who they are, and you know you can hear them coming even when they're not wearing full pads. You're like, oh, no.
Yeah. I promise there weren't a bunch of Ravens players who were excited to go over the middle with Ed Reed.
Oh, yeah.
Pads on or not.
Yeah.
It's like you said, just that little thought in the back of the head.
Yeah.
Yeah, so excited to see that. I got some quarterback stuff I want to get to with the 49ers and the Raiders because I cannot believe what I read this morning about the Raiders quarterback situation. I am flummoxed. I am floored, aghast, shocked, stunned.
Are you, though? It's the Raiders.
No, I am. No, I am. We'll talk about it. No, we'll talk about that next. And we'll also give you our first key word. If you weren't listening earlier, we're going to give away a keyword every day this week and every day next week because we're giving away seats to our suite at the Rivercats game on August 16th. So go to ESPN1320.com right now. Have it all loaded up. So that way, once we give you the keyword, you can fill out the entry form and insert that keyword and you will be entered to win one of those spots in our suite. You want a plus one at a suite at Sutter Health Park on August 16th. Keyword coming up next. Plus, I can't believe what the Raiders are doing at quarterback. We'll talk about that next as well. He's James. I'm Kyle. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Olympic athletes just blow my mind, man.
Yeah.
The amount of skill, like there's the shooting right now.
This is wild.
With the stormtrooper outfits on?
And like the the way that they do that, that entire thing, the shooting thing is totally wild.
It looks like a, what kind of, is that like just an air rifle?
No, I don't think so.
Or is that just like a purely competition gun?
It's a pure competition gun. Yeah. And I don't know how far away they are either.
Yeah,
oh,
rifle.
It went off the screen. So we have no idea. Oh, no, it is air rifle. What?
Crazy.
All right.
But just the there are people who are that good at that. Like that, they're standing there with an air rifle and they're shooting at targets.
Yeah.
I stand here today as a lizard brained radio guy and I go, I could do that. That is an Olympic thing I could perform in, but like, could I physically do the act of standing there with an air rifle and shooting it in a direction? 100%. Would I hit anything? Probably not.
Probably not.
And that's what every single, so we were watching, handball was on earlier. If you're, it, we're, we've got in our studio here, we have the four box USA or Olympic NBC screen on. Anyways.
Mm-hmm.
Handball was on, and I look at handball and I wonder, are handball athletes like basketball guys? Are those basketball players who went, yeah, hey, basketball is not, you know, in the cards or not my bag, but hey, this handball sport is sick.
Mm-hmm.
Are they volleyball players who went on to, because there's that arm, you know, spiking versus throwing?
Yeah.
You got to jump and you got to move. Or is it soccer? Is it more soccer movement? I have no idea, but I know it looks like a game. Oh, look. We've got some field hockey now. But I know it's a game that looks like, oh, I could do that. I could play that sport. But I know I can't. Like, I couldn't.
Well, I can tell you, I could never play field hockey.
Field hockey, I
got
no
chance. Not
with
my back.
No chance.
Not with my back, yeah. No. No. I would last, like, maybe
with your
a
back,
minute
I don't
and a half. I'd be like, nope, I'm good. Now I can't walk for a week.
Yeah.
No, I'm good.
Yeah. All right. Olympics. Anytime. Congratulations. By the way, to the U.S. men's gymnastics team, they have medaled for the first time since 2008. Want to get a medal count real quick?
Oh, what did they medal? What did they get? Bronze, silver?
I think they got bronze.
Okay.
I believe. Team USA and France are tied with 14 golds apiece.
Mm.
Or no, I'm sorry, 14 total medals apiece.
Okay.
Team USA is 7... silver, 4 bronze, and 3 golds so far.
Okay.
I imagine Simone Biles and co. will change that some.
Yeah.
Bet they get some gold. U.S. women's basketball is tonight. Today at noon, they play Japan. I think the U.S. ladies take that one.
Okay. The rugby is crazy. Have you?
I have not caught any rugby.
Okay, there's a USA rugby girl that, like, that's just a freight train.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like,
love that.
Like 6'2", 200 pounds.
Oh, just a unit.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah, just like shedding.
Yeah, I haven't gotten to.
Shedding people.
I haven't gotten to take that in yet.
Yeah.
It's a bummer. Where were we at? Oh, okay.
Raiders,
Niners. I think it's great. Quick Niners note. I think it's been great not having to talk about the starting quarterback this year.
Yeah.
You know how exciting that's been? Since when did I start doing Niners? 2018? Every year there's been some kind of, should they pay Jimmy Garoppolo? Should they not? Should they pay Jimmy Garoppolo? And then
should
they do
trade Jimmy?
And it's like, okay, so Jimmy's the guy in 2018. And then he gets hurt. And then going into 2019, it's like, man, is he going to be healthy? He got the ACL. How's it going to be? And then he goes out in 2019 and he's really good. And they go to the Super Bowl and they lose in the fashion that they did. So you're going into 2020 going, ah, is Jimmy the guy? He's going to be the starter, but how good is he? Deals with injury all that year. Then they draft Trey Lance in 2021. And every season after that was a...
Chaos.
Chaos. Thank
yeah.
you. And now they just, yeah, they have Brock Purdy. He's just a guy. I thought when the Raiders signed Gardner Minshew, that Gardner Minshew was that dude for them. Where they were going, all right, we have Davante Adams, we have Michael Mayer, we have, oh my God.
We forgot his name last name, Bowers.
Bowers, Brock Bowers, thank
Brock
you.
Bowers.
Good
yes,
Lord.
Yes, came into that.
Nice job, thank you.
Yes.
Here's why. Harrison, the name Harrison Bryant is a tight end. He was with the Browns.
Okay.
but he is the name that always comes into my head when I try and think of Brock Bowers. So the only name I can come up with is Harrison Bryant. Brock Bowers.
Got it.
And maybe they're looking at their team and going, yeah, you know what? We're just going to open it up, and we're Gardner Minshew is from Washington State. He will let it rip. Love this for him. And I read in ESPN today that they're having a legitimate QB battle there between Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew. And this ESPN NFL insider, I believe it was Dan Graziano, I'll confirm that here in a second, thinks that it's going to be Aiden O'Connell who's the week one starter, and I don't understand. Help me.
So I'm a huge Minshew fan.
Yes.
But I also understand he's like NFL journeyman who he just pops in, he can be your starter. He's almost like a 4A baseball player, you know, like, or a platoon player. Like, mm-hmm. He's so close to being like a starting level, like long-term NFL quarterback, but just not quite.
Mm-hmm.
And I still, like, if you're the Raiders, you probably should have drafted a top-tier quarterback and let Minshew be the quarterback for a year or two, or eight games, if that's what it works out, that you're just not very good and, you know, it's time to give the rookie a shot. But I just felt like Aiden O'Connell, like, we had so many discussions last year. Has he done anything to show you that he's a guy? And the answer was every time, like, no, not really. Like, he's just a statue in the back.
Right.
You know, he's just this, like, lumbering, like, 1990s quarterback.
He's a backup.
Yeah, yeah. A backup or like, a quarterback from a generation or two ago.
Sure.
Not today. And so maybe we're wrong. Maybe he's got the big arm. I mean, he certainly can throw the ball. But I just think Minshew is one of those guys who he's better than his stats. And you have a better chance of winning with him than you do with most other quarterbacks. And maybe we're wrong, but I don't know.
So here's where I'll defend Vegas a little bit. They picked 13th this year.
Yep.
Obviously, three quarterbacks off the board of the first three picks: Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May.
Mm-hmm.
And that was pretty expected. But then Michael Penix Jr., a player the Raiders were tied to a lot leading into the draft at number 13, goes number 8.
Mm-hmm.
And then J.J. McCarthy goes number 10 to Minnesota.
Okay.
They didn't even get a chance at Bo Nix, who went 12th to the Broncos. So I don't blame them for not going and getting a quarterback this year. In fact, the fact that Brock Bowers fell to them at 13, I thought was crazy. I didn't think he'd make it out of the top 10 based on everything that I was reading and hearing.
Okay.
So the fact that he falls to 13, yes, that's the right pick. Just good player. You'll figure out how to use him. Great. So I don't even hate that they didn't go get a quarterback this year, but I think they're close enough. And with so many teams making the playoffs now, go start Gardner Minshew. Give yourself the best chance to win off the rip.
Yeah.
I don't understand the notion that Aiden O'Connell, unless, and this is what, so here's what Dan Graziano wrote at ESPN. I think Pierce will feel loyal enough to O'Connell to lean his way. And if neither player separates himself during camp, I predict that's the way the Raiders will go in week one. How long O'Connell holds the job will likely depend on whether the team is winning, but it wouldn't be shocking at all to see both of these guys start games in 2024, and someone totally different could be starting in week one, 2025. Maybe, and again, you and I are not down in practices, watching in the Raiders building. Maybe Aiden O'Connell has taken these steps and these leaps, and they saw something last year that we missed, and they went, this is our dude. He's going to be the guy everybody rallies around. Great. I'm happy to be wrong here.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm too high on Gardner Minshew. Maybe I'm too low on Aiden O'Connell and too high on Gardner Minshew. But I've seen Gardner Minshew quarterback enough teams now to think that he gives them a better chance to win this year. And the fact that they would even entertain Aiden O'Connell because of some loyalty, it's not like he's a first round pick. It's not like he went out there and gutted out 17 starts for them last year, which is really gritty, and won them a bunch of tough games and this and that. Like, that's not how last season went at all. They should feel no loyalty to Aiden O'Connell. None.
No.
He does not. I don't understand that whatsoever.
Yeah, and for me, I know a lot of people are like, well, what are they supposed to do? All these quarterbacks went before they drafted at number 13. The yes. answer is you move up. You move up, or look, if you do want to go budget, like, is it just me or did Justin Fields go to the Steelers for like a 6th round pick? Like, was there someone else out there that you could have brought in that would make you more secure and them starting over Aiden O'Connell? Because everything you saw from Aiden O'Connell last year just said backup quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. Like, sure. like that's a perfectly fine job in the NBA, in the NFL, to come in and be a backup quarterback. I don't think that you can change who he is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's not, maybe he'll step in and be great. But I don't think that's going to be the case, especially when you had a legitimate star, like 25 snaps per game running back, and mm-hmm. you let him go.
Mm-hmm.
And now, like, he's not a guy that you can put like a scat back with him and think that you're going to get through, like, mm-hmm. like doing like a bunch of like rollouts and stuff. Mm-hmm. That he doesn't have that in his bag.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just like, I don't understand what the design is here, unless you're really looking for like the next Dan Johnson. It's like, oh, okay, well, that's what we're looking for. Like, well, you don't have the team to do that. So I'm
Dan Johnson?
Yeah. I don't know.
Explain.
Like,
or are you just saying rando guy?
Well, no, just like
generic
just,
quarterback.
Just a big, tall guy that Got just stands okay. in the pocket okay. and gets lit up all the time
sure.
and has no mobility. And when he does have mobility, you're
Daniel
watching.
Daniel Jones?
Oh, Daniel Jones. I'm sorry.
Dan
I'm sorry.
Johnson is legend.
Yeah, 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 yeah. yeah. Daniel Jones. I'm sorry. Yeah. That's what he looks like to me. Like peak Aiden O'Connell might be Daniel Jones. Maybe.
I wholly disagree, first of all.
You don't think
Daniel Jones is one of the most mobile quarterbacks in the league?
Well, once he's loose, he's fine, but he's still running around and he gets lit up all the time. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, I don't... If they loved one of the guys in front of him, then maybe you go trade up. But it's the same deal with the Niners not taking a tackle at the end of the first round.
Yeah.
They went, we think Ricky Pearsall is going to be a good player. So you get the good player instead of trying to reach for a player that, and Shannon even said, we talked about it on Kawakami's podcast, where he said, we thought that players in the back of the first round had just a good chance as a player in the back of the second round to be a starting player. So I think that might be, and teams might not have been willing to move.
Well, that I think there's a difference between a tackle, though, and your quarterback. The quarterback is literally what you're building your team around most teams.
But I think this year it was the top three guys.
Yeah,
it was Williams, Daniels, and not Penix, but May.
Mm-hmm.
And then Penix, Bo Nix, and J.J. McCarthy were probably not players worth trading. Like, to move up from 13 into the top 8 where they would have needed to get for a player that they may or may not love.
Yeah.
Look at what the Niners did that. And they face planted spectacularly.
Yes.
But
And they paid for it for 3 years.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, and they got extremely lucky that Brock Purdy is great.
Very much so. Very much so.
Last pick in the draft. So I get why they wouldn't want to do that, but at the same time, I don't understand paying Gardner Minshew what they paid him, and then out of loyalty going with Aiden O'Connell.
Yeah,
that doesn't track to me. I don't love that.
No, I don't love it.
That's
either.
Not my favorite thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Speaking of quarterbacks, we got people getting paid. Truncated version of good idea or bad idea today. Tua Tagovailoa, $53.1 million annually across a 4-year deal. It was really funny. The initial guarantees on the contract were reported at $167 million.
Oh, man.
Which would be the most guaranteed money for a non-Deshaun Watson quarterback ever.
Oof.
Then the structure of the deal comes out, and it's actually $93 million. Guaranteed,
yep.
93.1, I think, which puts him at behind Dak Prescott and right in front of Kirk Cousins in terms of total guarantees.
Mm.
So really his deal probably breaks down to, I haven't dove all the way into it, but it probably breaks down to something closer to like 2 years and 46 and a half a year.
Okay.
is probably closer to what it breaks down to, which is probably a little more closer to what you're wanting to pay Tua. And then same thing with Jordan Love. Jordan Love, his deal, you know, gets reported as this massive guarantee, and it ended up being $100.8 million, which puts him behind Kyler Murray, Jalen Hurts, Jared Goff. So these weren't the earth-shattering contracts or initially reported as typically happens.
Well, I'm kind of down with the Tua deal because I think you've chosen a path, and like there are times where I really don't think that I want to see Tua play football anymore because he's been hit so many times, and you're like, oh no, I don't want to, like, please don't play anymore. Yeah. Like, I don't want to know what you're going to be like when you're 35 years old. Mm-hmm. But then there are other times where you're like, okay, look, the things he does are pretty amazing for that team, and I'm okay with it. So you got to stick with the guy at some point, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm right there. Oh, my bad, Damian. Damian Marling here for the handoff. Oh, my God. I'm going to stop.
Moving stuff all
no,
over
I'm
going
to stop. I'm done. You got it. That's my bad. I'm trying to do too many things.
I got it. I'm here to help. Right. I know how to operate all of this stuff. I should be able to help.
How shocked are you to find out that the Tua Tagovailoa contract and Jordan Love contract were not as massive as they were initially reported? A true stunner.
Yeah, that's the NFL, man. Like, that's the NFL. That's just the way it works. For those two particular players, it's not surprising at all. I mean, they're mm-hmm. very much they're very much, I think, guys, and not I know guys. Like, if you're a general mm-hmm. manager, mm-hmm. I know it's Patrick Mahomes, it's Josh Allen, it's probably Joe Burrow, it's Justin Herbert. I know mm-hmm. Tua is, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, like, I think. Right. Like, I think. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Jordan Love is, maybe.
Yeah.
But there's a fascinating, like, to me, if you think, you do this. You pay that contract that has the $100 million guarantee to whatever, but you could do it once, mm-hmm. which is why the thing with Dak Prescott is so unique, because this is twice,
mm-hmm.
and you kind of know where you can get with Dak Prescott, and anything further, you know, if Dak got to the NFC Championship, the Super Bowl, whatever, mm-hmm. that's out of the norm. So signing a second deal when you're not quite sure, that's different.
That's tough.
Right? That's a little bit different. So mm-hmm. not that Dak won't get paid elsewhere, because if the Cowboys don't pay him, someone will, because he is a starting quarterback in the NFL, but mm-hmm. a team has to make the decision, are we willing to pay this contract a second time?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the more unique thing. It's why the Brock Purdy conversation is funny. What are the 49ers going to do? The 49ers are going to pay him.
He is going to get cash.
They're going to pay him a ton of money. There's no question about that. He is their starting quarterback. They've invested everything in he being the guy moving forward. It's why Trey Lance is in Dallas. It's why all these, you know, different scenarios at the 49ers, they're all gone. Mm-hmm. Brock Purdy's the guy, and he's going to get a really big contract that I think is going to be, depending on how this year goes, it's going to be closer to what you see from guys like Joe Burrow. He's going to be an I know guy mm-hmm. rather than an I think guy. And the only thing that changes that is a disastrous season from him, and I can't imagine that happening.
Yeah. And I think even like with Purdy, you got rid of you allowed Darnold to go. You're even taking like all the training wheels off. Like, okay, mm-hmm. like we're going to bring in Josh Dobbs. We're going to bring in some guys, but realistically, none of them are competing at all,
mm-hmm.
where it even felt like last year they hedged their bet just a little bit. Like, oh, okay, well, we're going to bring in a former number one overall guy just in case you're not the guy. But now it's like it's over.
And there were dummies calling for it. Sam Darnold, he's the best quarterback in training camp this year. Like, will you sit your ass down?
It's happening again in Minnesota. It's already happening. Sam Darnold rips a throw to Justin Jefferson, like, okay. Tua Tagovailoa, by the way, I nailed it. His guaranteed salary runs out after 2025.
Oh.
That is a 2-year contract.
Really? I thought it was 3. That is amazing.
His guaranteed salary, he has $50 million guaranteed in 2025 and then nothing after that.
Wow.
Yeah. That's a bold play by Tua.
That's because he's an... I'm pretty sure, guy.
Yeah.
Where if he plays well, the Dolphins are like, great, we're going to run it
without
back.
Without thinking about it, yep.
Yeah. But,
That's hedging your bet. I think for both sides too. It's like, hey,
oh, 100%.
I want the 96 million upfront, like whatever it is. Like, I'll take all that right now.
Yep.
But then you're like, for me, watching him on the field and when he got hit the second time, when he came back from the concussion, then got hit again, and his hand started curling up on the field and stuff. Yeah. It was like, okay, look, man, like, you might want to reconsider what you do for a living.
But in the scenario that Kyle just laid out with that contract, you could always do the Christian McCaffrey thing in that 2026 season where mm-hmm. the money is there. You just guarantee it, right? We saw it. Now, isn't the most flattering example, but you saw this with Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco, at the end of that monster deal with the Ravens, he was playing on non-guaranteed money. He was earning it all because he was still the starting quarterback, which I don't think anybody expected to be the case.
Right.
But he played out that entire contract and earned incredible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they didn't have anywhere else to go until they got Lamar. Mm-hmm. They didn't even go to Lamar. Flacco gets hurt, and it was like, oh, we've got a franchise quarterback here.
Yep.
And so it's not unheard of for that to happen. It's just not really likely.
Yeah.
And Flacco kind of knew, well, I'm not gonna hold out. Yeah. But he did. I mean, it's a risk. It's a gamble. But he wound up getting all that money, which is, that's Kirk Cousins level amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. A $25 million roster bonus due for Tua on March 15th of 2025. That's for the 2026 season.
Okay. Mm. Okay. So okay.
So by the 2020,
so if he has a good year, he's going to get paid $25 right. million that next year. Right.
Guaranteed.
Yeah. Guaranteed. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
And if he's awesome and continues to be awesome, then they can restructure that.
And
deal
I'm guessing there's nothing like that in the fourth year.
I would bet
that it all ends after that 2026 season, where everything just becomes 100% fake.
Yeah. In 2026, on March 15th, 2026. $3 million of his 2027 salary is guaranteed.
Okay.
So, but which is,
they'll restructure nothing. By that point, or he'll play somewhere else.
What do you guys got coming up?
I don't know, man. I'm watching the women's basketball.
Say, we going to ESPN? 12.
Yeah,
so we
no,
can...
we'll sit here. That I can't imagine. Like, I do, to a certain degree, as much fun as we have. We are professionals, but watching the opening ceremony together with no sound on Friday was a blast. Because it was like, I don't know what is going on, but Celine Dion is getting it, and I'm all here for it. I was so confused. Serena and Carl Lewis were on the boat, and I'm like, hey, who are those people? And I'm like, wait, that looks a lot like Serena. Wait, they're in France. They're not in – that is Serena. Oh, it was so much fun. That's awesome. What we're going to do today. We're going to watch basketball.
Can't wait. James, great show. We're the Insiders. We'll be back tomorrow. At 10 a.m., we're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. Until tomorrow at 10, drink water and be nice to people. D'Lo and Casey here next. Bye.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.